If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
My business coach said the best phrase, man, that really stuck with me, which is, if it makes the boat go faster, do it. If it doesn't make the boat go faster, ditch it. It's just that simple.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
A senior executive, real estate investor, an entrepreneur, a restaurant owner, explorer of 100 countries, public servant, federal agent and police officer, a philanthropist and lifestyle design and wealth coach, Maurice Philogene, his passion is living life leveraging freedom principles, financial freedom, time freedom, geographic freedom, freedom of purpose, and freedom of relationships. He uses real estate and professional careers to generate passive income and build legacy, all while empowering communities and helping others live their best life now through real estate and lifestyle design. He's based in Washington, D.C. in the Mediterranean region. Maurice, welcome to the show.
I love it. I'm taking you everywhere I go, man. You're the best at your intros, dude. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks. I feel like I always wreck them some way or another, but whatever. We're probably our own worst critic. Man, I'm excited to have you on the show. I'll just say, first off, I follow you on LinkedIn, and that's probably where I stalk a lot of my guests. Now everybody knows, but you're always posting cool stuff, and you've got a lot of projects in the hopper. You guys are going a lot of different directions, and I really am excited just to hear, you know, the same questions I ask everybody, but for you, where'd you start? Where are you now, and how did you get there?
Yeah, well, let me start with the where am I now, because I like giving the destination and hitting the journey. But I am Washington, D.C., mid-40s, 20-plus years into my professional careers, multifamily real estate investor, retired federal agent, current police officer, restaurant owner. But the biggest thing is I am a lover of life. All this stuff was to power living my best life now. I'm very serious about it. I know we're going to harp on real estate, but real estate is a tool, just like a lot of other things, that I use to live my life very well. So I am just in the end of the second quarter of my life. Things are just getting running, spending a lot of my time overseas and here, and I could not be happier. So I'll just start there. I'm just kind of a happy dude. But okay, from an origin standpoint, born in New York, raised in Boston, live in Washington, D.C. I graduated from University of Virginia, stayed in the area, started in real estate and other entrepreneurial ventures when I was 21 because I did some research on financial education, figured out that I needed to get my act together if I was not interested in sitting behind a desk for my whole life, and I was not. The second parallel, so I picked up Personal Finance for Dummies. It sunk into me, but at the same time, I learned about passive income, bought a property to live in, and then started. It was at the beginning of the 2000 real estate cycle boom, bought a bunch more of them in the same year. And it led me down the path of owning 35 single family homes, paying a majority of them off, creating a six-figure passive income salary by the time I was in my mid-30s. And I have moved into multifamily investing ever since. So that's kind of how I got started down the path.
Right. But yet even creating a six-figure income salary off of a bunch of homes,
yeah,
you then simultaneously, though, decided that you would still be a federal agent and work in the police force. And what can I just, I mean, this is probably an offensive question, but why?
It's not an offensive question. You know what it is, man? That's a great question, actually. In the intro, you said, you articulated on my behalf that I live by those freedom principles. One of them was freedom of purpose. Look, I figured out a long time ago that my purpose was to help people. My purpose was to create legacy for my family. So I didn't realize what I was doing when I did it, but fundamentally, when I created the salary, the enough passive income where I could have left work, I would have never left work, because what ends up happening is I have the passive income here. I have the W-2 income from active employment over here. I am powering all these goals that I have by not leaving one for the other. There's a great book called The Originals by Adam Grant. It says in there, there's a stat that says 33% of founders and entrepreneurs are less likely to fail if they maintain their full-time employment. So I did. My actual full-time employment was and still is being an executive at Accenture, which is a global consulting firm. I'm on my 24th year there. I've never left. So I've had the high six-figure salary there and kept using that to power my entrepreneurial endeavors and everything else that I wanted to do. At the same time, I was in the reserves for the Air Force. In there, there's an agency called the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, which is the equivalent of NCIS, the TV show, but in the Air Force. So I was a federal agent there for 22 years before I retired. And then in 2008, as a means to give back to community, freedom of purpose, I became a local street cop at the same time that I was doing all these other endeavors. And I'm still a street cop today. So the answer to your question is, why would you do all that if you had the means to not have to work at all? Because life is not about money. Life is about experiences, who you can impact, community, generating legacy and wealth for your family. And I was that committed to it, and I'm still committed to it to this day, where I'm starting to make changes now, but I was unwilling to give up income sources or anything that would give me some level of experience, which all those jobs did.
That's fascinating. I mean, and good for you. I mean, you sound like somebody who really is a visionary for your own life, kind of created, saw the path and said, I'm going to walk in it. Where I feel like, at least for me and a lot of people, it's like, I mean, yeah, we kind of have an idea where we want to go, but we're just not that strategic about it. So that's cool. Now, if I'm not mistaken, though, you are retiring from the police force sometime soon.
Yeah, I am, but it's a function of the next chapters of my life has started. So when in 2014 or 15, I got to that six-figure passive, right? I wasn't growing as a person. Okay, life is not about money, because I could have just pressed repeat on the same business plan. I didn't. I went into multifamily and started something fresh because I needed to grow as a person. It's the same thing now. I have aspirations to be Mediterranean-based, right? As you talked about, I'm spending a lot of my time in Turkey, Lebanon, Cyprus, even in Greece to an extent. And I sought out an opportunity where I could engage in entrepreneurial endeavors in the Med and found a business partner. We became really close friends. I'm going to be developing some real estate there. So now, here's the thing is, I want to be the guy who engages another community overseas. I don't want to be the American who pops in and goes to the restaurant and bars and then leaves. I want to be the guy that people high five when he shows up to the airport because he's built something great that people can leverage for their families and their kids and do something dramatic. And not to mention, I come from an immigrant family. We didn't have a lot growing up. There is no plausible way in my family back in the 80s and 90s would anyone have ever thought of creating something of what I'm doing overseas or living in the Mediterranean or having that lifestyle. That's the next thing. So the reason I'm retiring, if you will, right? So I just can't physically be here as much as I need to be to maintain that career. So now I've made the choice to, you know, shut it down because I have to move on to the next chapters.
Right. That is really cool. What's it been like growing a real estate company internationally?
Well, it's just starting. I'd say probably in the last 7 months, I've gotten going and we've established the company firmly, or I'll sign all the official paperwork when I arrive in 3 more weeks again, because the government was shut down for a while with COVID. You know what it's like? It's exactly with what I did with my life here. I just fell forward. I don't know everything. I don't know all the local laws. I don't know how to transact everything the right way. I just found out that, let's say if you buy 10 acres of land, you can only build on 35% of it based on the local law. There's all these things I have to figure out. And that, my friend, is the challenge. And that's what's keeping me fresh and going and engaged, because I don't know shit. You know, that's just the bottom line. That's what we did in high school, grade school, college. We didn't know everything. So we were excited to live. We get here and we get out into the real world. We start pressing repeat and having a Miller Lite on Friday and Saturday and going to Walmart and going back to work and doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's monotonous for me. So I seek out the next challenge. So what it's been like is a challenge. And that's what I always want, is the next thing that's going to help me grow as a person and give back to community.
That is super cool. Do you have any idea what you're doing? Are you with this development? Like, have you got blueprints drawn up for it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, when I say I don't know what I'm doing, I mean I am researching and studying and learning as I go. But my business partner is native to the island, and then he has been in real estate development for a long time.
Right.
So I've learned very quickly, when you want to do something, you find somebody who's been doing it for a while, and you align with that person, assuming they have the same personal values. and he does. So I'm in good hands.
Yeah, and you just hit on a key point there, aligning with someone their same personal values, because that, you know, it's one thing to align with someone that has industry experience, but it's also, you know, you need to have the same values as well. So
yeah, all this stuff supports life, man. I mean, no matter how much money we make, it's the life stuff and it's the relationships and it's doing it with integrity and stuff. So I would never align with someone who doesn't think the way that I think.
You really seem to value experience or experiences.
Yeah.
What are some other things that you put as a high priority for you?
Yeah. Three things. So I know what my purpose is. I'm very clear on what my purposes are. One is to be in love, meaning with my family, with my significant other, with my kids. That is an absolute must for me. I don't operate well without those being in balance. But the other two are, we'll come back to the experience part. My second purpose is being loved by a community, which means, what am I doing good for someone, somewhere, somehow? That's where the policing stuff came in. That's where the military stuff came in and all those aspects. I even, for a long time, I was volunteering at refugee camps overseas, specifically the Syrian refugee crisis, because I worked in Turkey running a field office for that agency for so long, I became interested. So any experience where I am giving back to people and improving their lives, I'm happy. That really gets me going. And then thirdly, and this is the biggest one, and we talked about it a little bit with the international real estate development stuff, is constant learning. The way that I engage in constant learning, okay, the Cyprus stuff and the real estate development is one thing, but I like to immerse myself in different cultures. So I have traveled to 96 or 97 countries over 250 times. The reason I love it is because there's always something to learn, right? So let's say in 2019, I went to the Arctic part of Finland 5 times. Because I just wanted to learn what it was like to be there. There's a native people there called the Swami people. Have you ever heard of the Swami people?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither. I had no clue that they even existed or what their challenges were or why. That travel is one way that you can truly get connected to what this big blue planet has to offer. And I don't mean like a tourist, man. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
What I'm talking about is meaningfully connecting with a culture, a community, learning about it, engaging in it, reinvesting in it. Let's say Lebanon. I've been to Lebanon 12 or 13 times since November of 2019 and have a huge community of friends and family there now. And I'm a better man for it. So the things that I like to do is like constant learning, constant engaging in community. Business is one aspect of doing that, but certainly personal life and just exploring the world can give you that as well.
How have you traveled so much and worked as a police officer and grown an investment company all at the same time? To me, that makes my head spin.
You create time and you only engage in those activities which forward your goals. I don't do a lot of what I call brown time. I don't really waste a lot of time nowadays. I don't spend 10 hours watching Netflix. I'm usually up at 4:30 in the morning doing business stuff. I binge travel a lot. So last weekend, I left on a Thursday night for Lebanon, and I was back on Tuesday. All of the work that I did on my, you know, on Quattro Capital or even for the consulting firm I work for is all remote. I have never, and then for the police department, I just wasn't working on those particular days or I took a few days off. I have always been very smart about engaging only in those things that will allow me to have opportunities. And even if they are restrictive, like a 9-to-5 job, I ask a better question. I don't go to HR or the person I work for and say, hey, I'd like to do this. Is this possible? What I do is say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Here's the outcome I'm still going to get you. How can you help support me get that done? You know what I mean? So I've always found a way to get all my goals kind of in my life going one way or the other, because I just assumed that I was going to be doing it. And then we'd just go to employers and say, how can you support this? I'll still get you your outcomes.
And what's typically been the response when you've taken that approach?
Great. For example, hey, I want to be a police officer. I realize I'm an IT executive. I'm going to go to police academy. I'm going to take time off. How can you support this? My boss at the time said, don't take time off. We'll figure it out together. And for 4 years, I don't tell a lot of people this a long time ago, but I do now. For 4 years, I worked both jobs full time and never told anyone. Worked the police at night, worked the consulting stuff during the day, slept when I could to include lunch breaks because I wanted it that much. You know what I mean? But because I still gave her her outcomes at work, the contracts we were doing, or, you know, spending time with customers and all that type of stuff, she was with it. As long as you give people outcomes that they need for their own goals, they'll support you doing things the way that you want to do it.
When it comes to scaling your real estate business,
yep,
how have you identified the things that you will define as, I guess you called it brown time? How will you identify the things that are not brown time? Like, what? How have you, or let me ask, see if I can ask this question more intelligently. How have you identified the things that are the highest and best use of your time?
My business coach said the best phrase, man, that really stuck with me, which is, if it makes the boat go faster, do it. If it doesn't make the boat go faster, ditch it. It's just that simple. So that means, like, you know, I gave up my 20s, man, when I was self-managing 35 homes. I didn't really hang out with the fellas. Don't get me wrong, I still party. I was still a 20-year-old. Don't get me wrong, right? But in general, I was always doing real estate stuff on weekends in my 20s after working all week, because what was making the boat go faster was working on these properties so I could get my passive income, so I could get to a point where I'm speaking to Sam in 2021, right? Like, that made the boat go faster. Me sitting this weekend and not doing anything, whether it's unless it's related to family or my business, it doesn't make the boat go faster. So I'm not going to go to a lot of parties this weekend unless it's people that I have true, meaningful relationships with, right? I've gotten really good using the word no. I don't go to networking events. I don't go to conferences anymore unless there's a particular thing that I want to learn. We just don't have enough time in the world for all that. The other thing that I've also done is prioritize automating my business. So I don't receive mail anywhere. It's all automated into an interface that I can just look from time to time, Earth Class Mail, virtual assistants, virtual portals, no employees, no brick and mortar. I will prioritize, like, I will work my butt off to automate something such that after 4 to 5 months of hard work, you know, it might take an hour to a month because it's fully automated. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I figure out what task makes sense to focus on.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. So it sounds like you're finding a lot of the time consuming tasks, be it email inbox management or regular mail management, and just getting those off of your plate. So you're putting in the hard work up front that pays dividends for a long time.
And I am kind of a student, like an unofficial student of Tim Ferriss and the 4-Hour Workweek. People misunderstand that book. He wasn't talking about working 4 hours a week. What he was talking about was automating your life, outsourcing everything such that you have time to go do the things that you want to do. So I've taken that to heart. I mean, there's a lot of things you can automate, and it just makes things a lot easier.
What are some of the things you can automate that you're thinking of?
So for example, you talked about, let's say meetings, for example. Meetings are mail management, right? Instead of doing, let's say we have a go, no-go decision on a property, my partner will send out a Loom video with the financials kind of listed on the screen and point out the things that we need to see. And we will make a decision like, okay, here's a decision to be made. Here's the factors you want. And it comes in a video, a 5-minute clip, as opposed to having a 1-hour meeting with people. We don't need that. You know what I mean? We create checklists for due diligence items that have to get done. As soon as we have a contract signed, for example, we know exactly what we need to get done, the time frame it needs to get done. Property manager already knows their activities. We know our activities. There's just no waste. Where we focus at the beginning is setting all those things up such that when we execute, it goes much, much faster.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I love that. You know, spending the time up front to build the framework.
Yeah. And build the framework, Sam, and then leave it. I don't want a building with Maurice Philogene on the side. I'm not trying to create $1 billion. That's not what I want. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that I have infrastructure to run the business, but also to sponsor people and get people going in their own. And that's good enough for me. I have learned, I think what I'm doing is I've created a very robust, lifestyle-oriented company that is more concerned with generating revenue so we can live extremely well, as opposed to creating this monster thing where, oh my God, I'm 80 years old. I forgot to live while I was doing all this stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm very intentional about the work that I do, how I do it, where I do it, when I do it.
That is awesome. Maurice, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you. Thank you for your time today. You're a man after my own heart. I need to spend more time around people like you, the travel and, you know, getting out there and living the life you have now is priority. So that's fantastic.
It's fun, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Let's jump here into the final four. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Fall forward. Stop overthinking it. If I would have overthunk it, I'd still be that 21-year-old who was trying to buy his first condo. I bought the first condo, signed the paperwork, had no idea what I was doing, except I went to the library, researched it, got enough information to make a semi-educated choice, and it was good enough. People are overthinking what they are trying to do, trying to make everything 100% perfect. It'll never be perfect. Fall forward and just get it done.
Love it. Love it. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
You reinvest in yourself constantly. Books. Listen, for me, it's mentors. Okay. So I have paid mentors. I now coach people from a lifestyle design perspective and from a wealth building perspective. Having a mentor and or a coach can knock 5, 10, 15, 20 years off of what you're trying to do. I literally just started trying to buy overseas real estate 8 months ago. I just put a contract on something. If you try and do that by yourself, it's going to take you years, if not decades. So how I reinvested myself is with mentors, but that's okay. If you don't have the funds to do that, podcast, library, Google, and the biggest mentor of all, YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely true. You can learn anything on YouTube. Absolutely anything. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
Ooh, giving back. I mean, making the world a better place. Everything that I'm trying to do from a real estate perspective outside of my own family's legacy is to improve communities. So, for example, a community that we bought in Atlanta, we put aside 33% of the building for families affected by homelessness or who are homeless themselves. I know that I can make money with real estate. Got it. You know, I got that part. You know, we all can. But I can do something unique with it. I can keep rental rates affordable for the families that live there while giving them a better product. I can take proceeds of my endeavors. And for example, after the blast on August 4th of last year in Lebanon that devastated Beirut, brought $80,000 worth of buying power to help businesses reopen, including certain friends of mine. The reason I'm doing this real estate stuff now, it's not my money anymore. I have enough money to live. Though anything I make going forward really belongs to either my kids or to the community. And that gives me drive, Sam, to keep getting up at 4 a.m, keep making phone calls to investors, because I know ultimately I hope the investors improve their own lives, but we're giving back to community in some way.
Right, right. No, that's absolutely awesome. Maurice, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, please find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. It's just Maurice Philogene on LinkedIn. I talk quite a bit about lifestyle and lifestyle design, the travel, how I've accomplished a lot of these things. LinkedIn is more of a business perspective. Quattro Capital can be found at thequattroway.com. Quattro as in Spanish, W-A-Y.com. And from a coaching perspective, I'm at mauricephilogene.com. And love to talk to anyone who reaches out.
Awesome. Maurice, thank you so much for your time. This was a great interview. I do appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.